This is Matt Wells at UN News. Well, attacks on schools in northeast Nigeria and elsewhere are a way of life, and their impact is devastating on children's mental health. Despite the dangers, boys and girls are returning in their thousands to places that were previously in the grip of Boko Haram extremists, according to the UN Children's Fund, UNICEF. UN News' Daniel Johnson spoke to the agency's representative in Nigeria, Peter Hawkins.
Attacks on schools and insecurity in many parts of Nigeria is not an uncommon feature. And over the past 10 years, especially in the northeast, where attacks on schools has been a way of life. More recently in Katsina, which is in the northwest, and Niger, which is in the north central, has experienced attacks on two boarding schools where children have been abducted and taken away. The reasons for these attacks on schools are multiple. Ideological in the northeast, where Boko Haram is against education, to the extreme where in Katsina and Niger State last week and a couple of months ago is around extortion, is trying to kidnap the children, trying to secure a ransom and extort money from the authorities.
Could you give me an update on that attack then? Just last Wednesday on this boarding school, college students abducted apparently. Do we have any update on where they are?
The attack took place last Wednesday, probably between 3 o'clock and 6 o'clock in the morning. One unfortunately was shot dead. Others, including some of the teachers, were taken as hostages. What we know as of this morning is that the discussions or negotiations, if you want, for a better term, are taking place. And we're optimistic that a solution should be found over the next couple of days. But the implications for those children are devastating. The psychosocial impact, the interruption in their education, but the long-term feeling that my school is not the safe place I thought it was, has a profound impact on children. Whether in Niger State, as was the case last week, or Katsina, as the case was a couple of months ago, or anywhere else where these boarding schools, other schools, are situated in slightly remote areas.
So what are your immediate aims now, once these children hopefully are returned?
Education is the most important thing for the future of Nigeria, the education of their children, not only in itself, but to ensure that the children can aspire. The biggest problem at the moment in Nigeria is that there are over 12 million children out of school, have no experience of a learning education. Secondly is the insecurity, and this is in the northeast, where the insurgency is undermining educational learning for all children, although there is some very good news. I mean, if you went to Maiduguri, which is the capital of Borno State in the northeast, in 2015, 2016, there was nothing happened, no schools. You go there now and 8 o'clock in the morning, 12 o'clock in the morning and in the afternoon at 3:30 and 5:30, there are traffic jams of KKs are the three-wheelers around the city, transporting children from school to home or home to school. And it's girls and boys. It's a miraculous change that has taken place. Thousands of children, tens of thousands of children going to school when they were not doing that 5 years ago. However,
that's wonderful. I've never been so happy to hear about traffic jams. But sorry, I did interrupt though. Carry on. And particularly happy to hear about girls going to school too.
Absolutely. But in the rural areas or in the small towns, education is non-existent. And in areas occupied by the insurgency, it's impossible. I mean, it's banned. So our objective is, one, to secure schools or to secure a learning experience for children, whether that is in school, in a formal setting, informal setting, or even indeed at home, where we can use data and digital learning to take place. And then there is ensuring that children have access to schools. Now, the insecurity that we saw in Katsina, in Niger State of late, and is a perpetual one in the northeast of Nigeria, has to be addressed. And there are different ways we need to look at it. The Safe School Initiative, which started off in 2014, following the Chibok girls' attack, where 300 to 400 girls were taken away, is still as relevant today as it was then. It hasn't materialized as well. It's evolved in the northeast, but now we need to replicate elements of it in the northwest of Nigeria to safeguard against school being attacked by whatever group, whatever entity.
very difficult situation for you to be in, very dangerous for humanitarians to get into the northeast, where there are who knows how many people still in need of support who you can't reach. How do you go about producing change and getting into those inaccessible areas? As humanitarians, you want to stay neutral. It would be very easy to go in with an armed truck, wouldn't it? But that's not what you want to do.
The insecurity in the Northeast is a major obstacle for us to deliver humanitarian assistance. And in actual fact, this very weekend on Friday night, a town called Dikwa was attacked and overrun by the insurgency. And thankfully, as the last reports that I had, all our staff are well. But that interruption of humanitarian assistance is fairly profound, because we now have to take our people out, give them psychosocial care and counseling. And then when it becomes safer, which might not take another 2, 3, 4 weeks before they can go back and before we can resume activities, it's interruptions of this nature that make it very difficult. There's also the areas which are totally inaccessible, i.e. areas that the insurgency control. We cannot go into there because of our own security, and where there are possibly in the region of 1.2 million people who we cannot access at this point in time.
That's a frightening figure, isn't it? So what is it that you are trying to do to build peace in the Northeast and extend your reach into these other areas that are also vulnerable to these extortionists?
What the international community are trying to do is not only respond with the humanitarian instruments that we have, for example, supplying assistance to displaced persons, primarily in many cases, whether it's health, education, shelter, food and water, but also to try and help communities themselves to develop those services and ensure those services. So that's the humanitarian, but it's also trying to look at stabilization, where people can make their own decisions. Do they want to continue to access education, access healthcare from the government, and how can we help support that? The peace and security is much more difficult in this environment, partly because of the multiple players, partly because of the difficulties around sovereignty and so on. And the developmental nexus with humanitarian is a reality in places like Maiduguri, which is the capital of Borno State, where, as I described earlier, you know, educational facilities, health facilities are continuing to work uninterrupted. Trade is possible. There are camps there. How can we depopulate the camps and resettle the people in and around Maiduguri so that they become economic contributors rather than recipients of aid? They can actually develop their own economic viability.
When you go out into the field, what is it that people want? What do they tell you they want? And how do you deliver what they need?
In Nigeria, what people want more than anything else is security. Security to be able to determine what they do tomorrow and after tomorrow. Security to be able to determine whether they can go out to the fields and grow their crops over the next 3, 6 months. Security to be able to travel on the road without being hassled, either by the official police or the unofficial police. Security to be able to go to a school and get quality education in that school and be able to return at the end of the day. It's not only going, but it's also coming back from school. The security for especially young girls to be able to complete their education till the age of 18, 12th grade, so they can make the choices for their future. For young boys, the security that even if they don't finish their schooling, that they can access jobs, access some skills to be able to be employed or be able to carry out their own entrepreneurial view. Nigerian children are some of the most resilient children you will find. They're active, they're incredibly talented. It's just the security to be able to determine what they can do next and how they do it.